President, I have Secretary Rogers.
Fine.
Lobel?
Hi, Mr. President.
You went to another reception, huh?
Oh, yeah, the International Club.
What about the Irish?
Well, the foreign minister's coming to see me this morning.
Foreign minister of Ireland.
Ireland, yeah. And the British ambassador's in this afternoon. And it's going to be become a very important political issue here at home.
Yes.
Kennedy's trying to make a lot of it.
I know.
And I wanted to get your guidance on what I should say. My own judgment is that I should... say something that was really expressing our concern and indicate that we hope that discussions would be held between those that are concerned and involved to see if something can be worked out. Now, I talked to Cromer about it today and said we didn't want to say anything unless it was agreeable with them. But I think that from your standpoint, you should, because Jim Buckley
all the Irish
and Kennedy and all the others are making a lot of it. And even though it's a little embarrassing with the British, I think that...
What did Cromer say? Did he?
Well, he said he understood. And I told him I'd get in touch with him in the morning. But did you say anything to Heath on this subject? Do you remember?
No. Yeah, oh, yes. We of course, it hadn't escalated at that point. I said, look, I said, in effect, this is the agony of Ireland, England is something that we don't want to exacerbate, that we just hope that we won't say anything that's going to make it more difficult for you, but we hope you can work it out. I sort of left it that way. I don't want to be I don't think we should be in the position of demagoguing it as Kennedy's attitude. But to say, well, so that we're in the position to say, well, but we're using our good offices to try to work out an amicable solution, but that we're not because it is a terrible thing, you know. Goddamn people burning down the embassy and the rest. The Irish are wrong, and the British have been wrong, but I don't think they've been wrong on this, perhaps.
But it's a little
historically they've been wrong.
It's a little different now, because before it was an internal matter. Now we've got Ireland coming to us, you know, the
yes,
Republic of Ireland,
yes,
and the British both. So it seems to me we have an opportunity to say a little bit more than we did before.
Yes.
Before it was just a matter of Britain. But now the Irish government is concerned, too.
What are they going to say?
They want, first place, Lynch wants to come to visit you. And I don't think you should do that.
Well, not now. We should say, look, we're totally committed until after we get through the China trip.
Right.
We'd be glad to have him come then.
Right.
Would that be all right?
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. They're also going to ask us to put pressure on the British to do different things, like getting out of the Catholic areas and some other things. And I think we have to resist that. But on the other hand, I don't think we should remain silent. Well, my thought was that I would, after the meeting, at 12 o'clock, go down and say a few things to the press, and then I would use that as an opportunity to respond to some questions about Muskie's speech.
That was a shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It
didn't get much attention. I was amazed.
But you know, he totally apparently had studied what we had done. Well, he may have, but he studied it and totally misrepresented it. But he's really giving, in a real sense, aid and comfort to the enemy.
I know it.
But he's holding out to the enemy. Look, as the front-running Democratic candidate, I'm saying, just wait, we'll give you a better deal than we can get now.
And he, in effect, he rejected our offer before the enemy did.
That's right.
Well, I thought I'd do the Ireland thing as an excuse for going down, and then
sure,
take him on.
Right. And on the Ireland thing, I would say, look, this is a terribly difficult thing that's been going on for many, many years, but there are decent men on both sides that are trying to work it out amicably. I think we ought to, we hope they can, and we want to use our influence to the extent that it can be and a way to work it out. I don't know, it's a tough one.
Well, I think I can handle it. You know, one thought occurred to me, and I talked to Cromer about it today, was whether there would be any point of encouraging, not publicly, but privately, somebody like Norman Vincent Peale, or Billy Graham, or Cardinal Cook, or maybe a combination, privately to go over there to see whether there was anything they could add, help. wouldn't be identified with you, but everybody would know that
Cook might be the best.
Yeah.
Being a Catholic and being reasonable, he might do it. I think I'm back with a reasonable point of view.
Well, you might even think of Cook and Steele together. I don't...
Yeah, two of them.
I asked him about that. He said, well, it had possibilities. He didn't know. He let me know. We don't have to decide that now, but it seems to be...
We don't want to embarrass the British terribly at a time that they're, you know, doing that. We cannot be in a position of saying that we're not concerned about the Irish. Well, sort of play it that way, you'll know how to
get it. Well, I think I can play it all right, but as long as, and I think by, I'll call Kermit tomorrow, too, and
be sure that he knows it,
so that
and say that, look, we're not, we don't want to embarrass you or anything, but we want to keep the forces in this country that would tend to have us line up, we want to keep them muted a bit, so
right.
We can indicate that we're, our concern, that will help sort of along those lines.
Right. I got a letter from a telegram from Sir Alec Hume today.
I was saying about the,
well, he was presenting a point of view, and he didn't, he hoped that we wouldn't take sides, and we can't take sides.
I wouldn't, no.
But
no.
We've got to, it seems to me, we've got to indicate a willingness to help if we could. And
to mediate. To,
yeah, well, we don't have media, but good offices is a pretty good word.
Good offices, yeah.
We're prepared to be helpful if we can, and we told both the British government and the Irish government that if there's something they think we could usefully do, we consider it something of that kind. Yeah.
Of course, you know, the it is a terrible tragedy because the British, with all of their great points, have always mishandled Ireland.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they're mishandling it now or not, but they probably aren't. But it's the point that the historical record is so bad that they now just can't look good anything they do.
It's really a terrible dilemma.
It's
awful.
Because, you know, and let's face it, the Irish are pretty goddamn bad here. They're Kennedy type, you know, raising hell, blowing up the place, burning down the embassy and all that.
Cromer said that the IRA, the guerrillas, getting weapons in Czechoslovakia, a lot of the markings on the weapons are Czechoslovakian. I thought the meeting this morning went very well.
Well, I think we got it pretty well positioned, and I'm pressing more, and of course Laird, to give all these options to us so that we'll know what we've got, but... I already decided we'd order in the carriers, so we have four carriers, order in more B-52s, more A-1s, more F-4s, to have them there.
Right.
Now, prior to the time we go to China, and while we're there, hit nothing in North Vietnam. That would be a mistake. But we can hit anything in South Vietnam with everything we've got,
right.
And that'll decide that battle or help it. Then, the moment we return, then we can look at the North Vietnamese situation and give them a crack there. Don't you think so?
Yes, I do. I thought it was a good meeting, too.
Right. Well, it was a good discussion.
Very good.
Sorry, yeah, you know, I'm just thinking if Agnew were here, hell, he'd be bombing Haiphong. God almighty. Well, anyway,
well,
do the best we can.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck.